The president confronts labor over healthcare taxes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The action on the big health care bill is not just in Congress. Today, President Obama will try to convince union leaders to support a tax on so-called Cadillac health care plans. From our health care desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner tells us what's at stake.
Bill George is president of the Pennsylvania chapter of the AFL-CIO and a 50-year union veteran. He helped negotiate some of the big health care plans for Bethlehem Steel.
Some people got a Cadillac plan. God bless them. We're proud they were able to. And let me tell you, they're paying for that out of their productivity.
And out of their wages. Across the country, unions have given up wage increases in return for better benefits, sometimes really good benefits.
Yeah, Cadillac plan for my employees here, they don't have any co-pays. They got dental, they got full hospitalization, doctors, etc.
They're called Cadillac plans because the premiums paid by workers and their employers total at least $23,000 per family per year. That category includes a lot of union plans with very low deductibles and excellent benefits.
We don't want to have systems in place that encourage people to use too much health care.
Jonathan Skinner is a health economist at Dartmouth. He says the goal of the Senate-proposed tax is really twofold, to raise money to cover the uninsured and...
You want the tax to change people's behavior, and not just the consumers, but also the insurance companies that provide this kind of coverage.
Skinner predicts that insurance companies will strip benefits and squeeze providers to avoid paying the tax, which also means the government will collect less revenue. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And talking of Cadillacs, the North American International Auto Show opens in Detroit today. Early reports suggest we can expect a lot of small, fuel-efficient vehicles, a whole new focus on cars that actually run on alternative fuel sources, and as Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us, maybe even a little bit of optimism about the whole industry.
Last year, only 50 car makers came to the Detroit Auto Show. This year, there are 61. Not bad, considering how many car companies don't exist anymore. John Casessa is an auto analyst in New York. He says the Detroit show is a good barometer of the business.
My guess is that it will reflect the following. A very cautious optimism that the worst is over for the industry and specifically for the Detroit companies.
The show is a chance to check out the latest in car fashion. Here's a hint. For the first time this year, there's a whole section called Electric Avenue. Casessa says it's also a chance for the home team, GM, Chrysler, and Ford, to show they're still contenders.
They need to shift the conversation from financial problems, restructuring, the labor issues, and remind potential consumers that they can make good cars.
But it's hard to shift the conversation from money when nobody has any. In the good old days, the highlight of the Detroit show was an extravagant charity gala. Car makers and suppliers and other companies would buy up big blocks of tickets for their employees. Doug Fox is chairman of the show. He says that's not happening anymore because companies just don't have that kind of money.
Anything that's considered to be non-essential has been eliminated. It's a circle the wagons mentality.
He says they've cut the price of tickets almost in half this year to encourage people to buy. Sales are still slow, but it's better than last year when they couldn't give the tickets away. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
China has overtaken Germany as the world's biggest exporter. China reported today its December exports jumped more than 17%, bringing the 2009 total to more than $1.2 trillion, just ahead of Germany. Asian stocks were higher today, with Hong Kong and Shanghai markets up more than 0.5%. European stocks are even higher than that so far this morning. Oil is up again, around $83.50 a barrel. Friday was more subdued on Wall Street. We got that disappointing employment report. Still, the S&P 500 added 0.3% to its highest close since October 08. The NASDAQ gained 0.7%. The Dow rose 11 points to 10,618. Japan Airlines reportedly will reject cash offers from Delta and American Airlines, file for bankruptcy, and embark on a government-led turnaround. Kyoto News reports JAL will cut a third of its workforce under a plan being hammered out by a state-backed agency. And JAL shares, which have been down, down, down lately, they would be delisted.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, for 158 years, providing policyholders with solutions to help meet their financial goals at MassMutual.com.
The Supreme Court is likely to issue a ruling this week on a lawsuit to keep invasive fish out of the Great Lakes. Several states, led by Michigan, want Illinois to close canal locks to block the voracious Asian carp. But Illinois, backed by the federal government, argues that closing the locks would also block commerce. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
States around the Great Lakes are bracing for an invasion of monster fish that can grow to be 4 feet long and weigh 100 pounds.
They breed like mosquitoes and they eat like hogs.
Andy Buxbaum directs the Great Lakes Office of the National Wildlife Federation. He supports Michigan's lawsuit to force Illinois to close a series of canal locks to keep Asian carp from threatening fishing and tourism on the Great Lakes. But Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan says those locks handle $16 billion worth of cargo every year.
Petroleum products, agricultural products, coal, road salt, steel, cement, home heating oil, things that are vital to the running of our economy, certainly of our city and our state.
Besides, she says, the locks were never designed to block fish, and closing them may not work. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, tough to be NBC right now. Yesterday, the network confirmed that moving Jay Leno to primetime was a bust. It'll move Leno back to late nights for only a half-hour show while still having to pay his full salary, meaning Conan O'Brien gets booted out of his slot. He might dump NBC for Fox. And the Winter Olympics begin next month, and NBC says it paid so much for the rights to it that it expects to lose millions of dollars on the games. Well, the NFL playoffs are going well so far. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.